Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Courtney Howe.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
We're not trying to cause anybody problems. What we're trying to do is trying to help them to not get the hold of some of this stuff that's killing people.
Officials in Round County are on full alert after 8 heroin overdoses have been reported in the last day and a half.
A Clay County woman has been found guilty of Medicaid fraud.
Cole State lawmakers held a rally in Washington on Thursday.
In sports, Rowan County hosts Fleming County in high school football tonight.
Bud Luke has the Stocks.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with isolated showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Lows in the upper 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A successful drug investigation in the Portsmouth area has yielded 13 indictments. WSAZ reports the investigation took place under the supervision of multiple agencies who executed search warrants at three separate locations in Portsmouth. Approximately 51 grams of heroin, 7 grams of crack cocaine, a firearm, and over $11,000 were seized, according to Portsmouth and Scioto County police chiefs, along with the evidence of the distribution of hundreds of grams of heroin and crack cocaine in the area. The case was presented to the Scioto County Grand Jury in August, where 13 people were indicted on various drug-related offenses, including trafficking in drugs, conspiracy to trafficking in drugs, and engaging in a pattern of corrupt activity. Police are currently looking for Katrina McKean, Leo Bugs, Devon Miles, Sean Kimball, Antoine Fielder, and Jerrica Tribune.
With 8 heroin overdoses reported in the last day and a half, including one death, Rowan County's law enforcement agencies and its emergency responders could be looking forward to a long weekend. County Chief Deputy Joe Klein says they believe they'll be dealing with further such incidents.
Unfortunately, I think we are. We just don't know how long and, you know, how broad this is going to be. But, you know, we're trying to be as prepared as we can. And, you know, we've had meetings with the hospital staff. We've met with first responders, fire, EMS, law enforcement, and we're just trying to keep everybody's awareness level high on this.
Klein says a deadly batch of fentanyl-laced heroin has made its way into Rowan County. Authorities Thursday launched an awareness campaign via robocalls, social media, and traditional media sources to warn people of the situation. They're hoping the effort will save lives.
It'll take a different mindset to solve the county's battle with opioid abuse, so says Director of Kentucky's Office of Drug Control Policy, Van Ingram. The former Maysville Police Chief testified Thursday before House and Senate members of the General Assembly's Investigations Committee. Ingram says too many people have been taught that drugs are the answer to every medical problem.
We watch the television and we see a commercial every night that tells us there's a pill for whatever ails you. And if you're having complications from your opioid, here's something you can take for your constipation. On the Super Bowl, they advertise that. And so... we've got to have a real culture shift.
Ingram says more funding would be helpful in the fight against drugs, but he concedes there will never be enough.
The chairman of the House Budget Committee says there's probably no better example of how some state budget cuts have consequences as there is with reductions in drug education programs. Democrat Rick Rand of Bedford cites the DARE program as a case in point.
As politicians, we go home and beat our chest. We're bringing government to its knees. We're cutting costs. We're doing this. But these are the programs that are lost, or even worse, underfunded. I think it's probably even worse that they're underfunded because they're still there, but they can't be fully effective.
Rand spoke Thursday at a hearing in Frankfort.
The FBI is reaching out to high school students in Kentucky as part of a strategy to combat the state's illegal drug scourge. FBI officials said Thursday they hope to visit Kentucky high schools to show a 45-minute documentary film showcasing the ravage caused by heroin and prescription drug abuse. The video profiles the plight of drug abusers in their own words. Harold Marshall, special agent in charge of the FBI's Louisville division, says the goal is to show the dangers of drug use at a time when teenagers are tempted to experiment with drugs. He calls it a life and death decision. The initiative comes from health officials. Drug overdoses, a public health crisis. Marshall says drug organizations are proving to be formidable adversaries as law enforcement tries to dismantle them.
A Clay County woman who pled guilty in Clark County Circuit Court to one count of wanton or reckless exploitation of an adult in July has been sentenced. 32-year-old Bobby Creech helped herself to the Social Security checks of a vulnerable adult while neglecting to cover the victim's medical and living expenses at a Medicaid-funded facility in Clark County. Creech paid $1,650 in restitution and was given a 5-year sentence, 30 days of which will be spent in jail, with the remaining 5 years on probation.
Coal state lawmakers told thousands of coal miners at a rally in Washington Thursday that the federal government needs to protect the pensions and health care benefits of retired and laid-off miners. Both are endangered by the bankruptcies of multiple energy companies in recent years. Democratic U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio says those safeguards would already be in place if it hadn't been for Kentucky's senior senator, Republican Mitch McConnell.
We need Republican senators and Democratic senators to put the heat, I'll call out his name, to put the heat on Mitch McConnell. He's the reason we haven't had it yet. He's the reason this isn't law. He's the reason we haven't fixed this.
Republican Congressman Andy Barr of Kentucky claims the Obama administration has conducted a war on coal against the industry. The Lexington lawmaker says that has caused coal companies to go belly up and cost thousands of jobs.
So here's the deal. The federal government caused this problem, so the federal government needs to fix the problem.
Barr says coal miners and their families earn the benefits and they should not be taken away. Bills are pending in Congress to preserve the pensions and medical care of retired and laid-off miners.
More than 100 coal workers in Pike County are facing layoffs as officials prepare to idle the Sydney coal mine. WYMT reports Alpha Natural Resources issued a WARN notice yesterday to employees of Sydney Coal. The layoff impacts 117 employees, including drivers for the company that hauls coal for the mine, Mitchell Case Trucking. Bonnie May's husband is one of the truckers who got a phone call yesterday. She tells the Hazard Station she doesn't know what to expect.
It's a hard position. He's going to be laid off. Don't know if he will get to stay here or have to go and find another job at a different mine.
The mine is expected to be idled in November. Officials with Alpha Natural Resources point to the struggling coal industry as the reason for the layoffs.
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says it's done reviewing Kentucky's proposed Medicaid overhaul and is starting the 30-day public comment period regarding it. Governor Matt Bevin earlier this year submitted the state's alternative to the Federal Affordable Care Act's expanded Medicaid program, which added 750,000 people to Kentucky's Medicaid rolls. The governor says having to wait another month to see if the federal government will okay his plan is fine by him.
It's not at all inappropriate. I think it is good to allow the public to weigh in. This affects them in a big, big way, both as the recipients of and the funders of. And I think it's wise to let people have a public forum in which to air their comments and thoughts.
While some fear Bevin's proposal will cost some Kentuckians their health coverage, he says it's less expensive for the state and will lead to better health outcomes. He adds that if the federal government rejects his plan, he'll repeal expanded Medicaid in Kentucky. The governor was in Moorhead Thursday to campaign for GOP House candidate Wendy Fletcher.
The new head of the Moorhead Rowan County Economic Development Council says he's ready to mark his mark on the job. Bob Helton was named the EDC's executive director earlier this week. A native of West Liberty and a graduate of Moorhead State University, the 62-year-old Helton says he's very familiar with several of the tools he can use to help bring more businesses and industry to Rowan County.
With MSU Space Science Center is a huge asset, the lake for tourism and lifestyle for recruiting new companies, and it's one of the best industrial parks that I know of in the state. MMRC has been developed to a great level and I think can continue to be expanded upon.
Helton already lives in Moorhead. He spent the past several years working as the Director of Economic Development for R.J. Corman Railroad Construction. He'll take over the EDC's top post from Interim Director Terry Enzer on October 1st.
The Kentucky League of Cities will help Ashland choose its next city manager. That's according to interim manager Sonny Martin, who says representatives of the KLC will attend the City Commission's next meeting September 22nd to discuss this process. On a 3-2 vote, commissioners fired former manager Benjamin Bitter in February after he'd been on the job about 2 years.
A Bracken County road project has been put on hold. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler has the story.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the reconstruction of Kentucky 1159 in Brooksville to Kentucky 9 had been designated as a high-priority state project. However, officials say the effort is being put on hold while Kentucky builds up funding for its road projects. State Representative Mike Denham Tuesday blamed Governor Bevin for delaying the work on 1159. Nancy Wood, spokeswoman for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, told the paper that all state road projects are on hold until next year when they will be re-evaluated. She notes the Pause 50 plan stops work on approximately $145 million worth of design, right-of-way, and utility relocation phases of projects. According to Wood, the state road fund's cash balance is now roughly $200 million. Reporting from Ward State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blingenbuehler.
A Louisville woman has been accused of using social media to promote a terrorist group. We get details from Ed Huckleberry.
Her name has not been released, but the FBI says a Louisville woman in her 50s promoted attacks on behalf of ISIS. She was arrested overnight Thursday on charges of providing material in support of a terrorist group. She posted ISIS propaganda through her social media accounts.
A Kentucky man who volunteered at Ground Zero after the terror attacks is recalling that experience 15 years later. John Heil traveled from Louisville to volunteer at Ground Zero. He was there for 8 days, and the experience inspired him to become a firefighter. Heil says he remembers his time at Ground Zero as a time of great kindness.
There's a big sense of pride and a big sense of responsibility that I feel like, you know, being one of so many few that have from this area that got to experience that firsthand. And the thing that I always say about that whole experience is that in America's darkest hour, its people shined the brightest.
Heil says the experience changed his life, and he wishes Americans truly remembered, like we would never forget.
Bioenergy of Ohio is seeking a permit to build a landfill gas power station at the Rumpke Brown County Landfill in Georgetown. Matt Freeman is with the Portsmouth Local Air Agency. He explains a community forum is the first step in receiving the permit.
The company basically requested we have a public hearing so they can inform the public of their plans to install 3 CAT engines that will basically use only landfill gas, and they will take that energy and put it towards the grid to sell or to power the village of Georgetown instead of it being flared off in the existing enclosed combustor that Rumpke currently has at the landfill.
Freeman adds there's a 30-day comment period after the hearing. If there are no oppositions, the proposal can move forward. The meeting is slated for Tuesday, September 20th at the Georgetown Village Council Chambers.
Kentucky Congressman Hal Rogers was honored in Washington Thursday for his 4 decades of service in Congress, the last 6 as the chairman of the House Appropriations and Revenue Committee. The Republican is credited with many programs to improve his eastern district, including Pride and Unite. Pride has helped clean up the area, and Unite was created to battle drug addiction. Rogers hopes his efforts have helped in other ways, too. He spoke with WYMT.
On the Cumberland River, since we put all those dams and levees in place, we've not had a single town flood since that time.
Rogers also formed SOAR with former Governor Steve Beshear to bring new jobs and economic development to eastern Kentucky. Rogers' portrait is being added to the wall of the House Appropriations Committee meeting room. The painting was unveiled this week.
The Kentucky Division of Forestry is accepting orders for tree seedlings. The division operates 2 state nurseries and provides over 1 million seedlings a year to the Commonwealth. Eric Gracie is with the State Division of Forestry. He says the low-cost seedlings assist the community with their reforestation efforts and provide a healthier environment for everyone.
Forested areas help with runoff, whether it's agricultural, mining, urban runoff. So it helps from a clean water standpoint. In urban areas, it reduces the ambient temperatures, so people save on cooling costs. There's all kinds of research that shows there's a health benefit to living in an area with more trees.
Gracie adds there are more than 50 species of trees to choose from. The 1 to 2 year seedlings are shipped in bundles of 10, 50, or 100 and range in price from $35 to $95. To place an order, visit forestry.ky.gov.
Morehead State University's Kappa Delta Sorority will hold its annual Shamrock 5K Run for Charity on September 23rd. Proceeds from the event will go to Prevent Child Abuse America and the Gateway Children's Advocacy Center. Allison Fletcher is the Vice President for Community Service for the KDs.
We struggle with a lot of families that deal with sexual assault and physical assault and abuse, and a lot of that are children. So Gateway Children's Advocacy Center, which is just down the street from the campus, they will receive 80% of our funds that we raise, and they do work to help prevent situations or to help children who have been in those situations.
Registration for the Shamrock 5K will start on the lawn of MSU's Laughlin Building at 8 p.m. on September 23rd. The cost is $15 for students and $20 for community members. The run begins at 9. You can register online at www.eventbrite.com. For more information, contact Fletcher at vpcs.deltatau@gmail.com. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be in the upper 60s. Your Saturday will be warm, mostly sunny skies, isolated showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, and scattered showers and thunderstorms late. Chance of rain at 40%, and temperatures will be in the upper 80s. Your Saturday night will be mostly cloudy. There's a 50% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Partly cloudy near dawn with lows in the upper 50s. Your Sunday will be sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it is 81 degrees in Ashland, 83 degrees in Flemingsburg, Lexington, and Winchester. It's 87 degrees in Inez, and it's currently 81 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
The time is 4:47, and you're listening to Mountain Edition on MSPR. We're glad you're with us on this Friday evening. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University Professor John Modath. He asked the question, could one of the 20th century's great minds have been right when foretelling a fatal flaw in human society?
Let's hope C.S. Lewis was wrong when he observed, that is the key to history. Terrific energy is expended. Civilizations are built up. Excellent institutions devised. But each time something goes wrong, some fatal flaw always brings the selfish and the cruel people to the top, and it all slides back into misery and ruin. If Lewis was right, we might expect to see evidence in our current situation, given that the American version of civilization has been active now for more than 200 years. Has something gone wrong? Do we now exhibit this fatal flaw? Have selfish, cruel people risen to the top? Are we sliding back into misery and ruin? People from all over the world have come to this land and have seized land, laid claim to it, built cities, farms, and factories. Americans built world-famous institutions of learning and healing, a magnificent air and road travel system, and the foundations of the Internet. Generations of Americans have worked their hearts out, but something is beginning to stink. We now see that selfishness and cruelty are accepted, even revered. Cruelty, such as demeaning women who dare to accuse certain men of sexual impropriety, is laughed off and redefined as loyalty. Cruelty, such as seizing private property through a perversion of the already perverse concept of eminent domain, is laughed off and redefined as good business. Followers excuse the selfishness and cruelty of their political and cultural idols, and the candidates for president in 2016 exemplify this willful blindness so completely that one wonders if C.S. Lewis could have been any more right. Perhaps the most distressing part of Lewis's prediction is the phrase, fatal flaw. What can be said of this allusion to human weakness and imperfection. What is the fatal flaw that has led us to where we are today? We reward idle hands. We deceive ourselves selfishly with statistics designed to create illusions of prosperity and progress. We pass failing students. We give trophies to winners and losers alike. We restrict hard criticism by calling it hatred. We punish candor of mind while rewarding candid selfies. Our fatal flaw, there may be more than one, but certainly one of the worst, is plain old pedestrian sloth. Why work? More than 90 millions of us now answer that question with, no need to, since we can, for now, eat very well without it. C.S. Lewis was a realist, but he was also an optimist. Our fatal flaw is not immutable. The first step is noticing it, then learning to so revile it that we begin to pull away and beyond the fetters of stupidity and sloth. Step one, stop rewarding both. You know what to do. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. MSPR's Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on your sports. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowland County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Morehead City Park. The Rowland County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Rowland County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Rowland County football team is at home tonight at 7:30. The 0-3 Vikings will host Fleming County. Coach Gene Peterson believes Round's keys to victory rest on the ability of his offense to use clock and keep Fleming's high-scoring attack on the sidelines.
Our big deal right now is running the football. We like to throw the ball, you know, as much as we can, but we haven't been able to here lately. But, you know, we have it in our package. If we may want to spread it out a little bit this week and try to throw the ball a little bit more and also be able to run our option game and our power game.
Fleming is 2-1 this season and scoring an average of 37 points a game. Also in area prep football tonight, 2 1-1 rivals collide as East Carter visits West Carter. West coach Kevin Brown says the Raiders' multi-dimensional offense will present a challenge for his defense.
They'll spread every now and then, but primarily they're a power football team and short passing game. So, you know, it's a lot for us to deal with, but hopefully we'll be able to handle it.
Elsewhere, 2-1 Greenup County entertains unbeaten Raceland. Greenup coach Scott Grizzle says the Musketeers will have to play very well to knock off the Rams.
They got a really good football team. They're going to be fundamentally sound. They're going to be prepared. They're going to be in shape. I know they're going to be in great condition. And they're going to have a good game plan, so it's going to be a challenge.
Other games, Russell visits Ashland Blazer, Montgomery travels to Clark, Bath is at Morgan, Powell hosts Lawrence, and Fairview entertains Pikeville. The Morehead State football Eagles battle VMI tomorrow night at 6 in their first game at Jane Stadium. After suffering an 80-7 rout at 12th-ranked James Madison last weekend, Coach Rob Tenier believes it is critical that MSU build some momentum and confidence early against the 0-1 Cadets.
A good start obviously going to help us, and we got to find ways to create that, you know, within our staff, with our players, and put our guys in a position to be successful, especially offensively.
The Eagles had 5 turnovers and mustered only 182 yards of offense in their loss at James Madison. MSU fell last year at VMI 43-40 on a last-second field goal. Both Kentucky and Louisville are on the road for their Week 2 matchups. After blowing a big lead last Saturday and losing to Southern Mississippi, the Wildcats start SEC play at Florida. Coach Mark Stoops disagrees with those who think the outcome will dictate the rest of UK season.
I don't ever want to put a make or break on one game, because say we win it, I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Y'all, you know that. Y'all have written about that plenty, about starting good and not finishing. So what good does that do? You know, it's a 12-game season.
As for 1-0 Louisville, the Cardinals will play at Syracuse tonight at 8 o'clock. The Cincinnati Bengals get the 2016 season underway on Sunday when they travel to New York for a matchup with the Jets. Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis says his team is excited about getting the chance to kick off the season in New York against a talented team.
A special opportunity going to New York to do the opener on 9/11, the anniversary of 9/11. So we're excited and we'll be ready to play. Going to play a well-put-together football team, kind of a football team on offense. They've added a lot of parts from other places around the league and put a great group together.
Kickoff for Sunday's game is 1 p.m. Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert will not play in the game due to an ankle injury. The Cincinnati Reds are in Pittsburgh again this evening to take on the Pirates at 7. The Reds lost their fifth straight game last night. Manager Brian Price credits Ivan Nova, who threw a complete game for Pittsburgh, for not giving Cincinnati a lot of opportunities to score.
Yeah, he didn't give us much to get excited about. You know, he did a really nice job, even when the few times where he had runners on base. And he's, you know, he gets so many ground balls. He's always a pitch away from getting out of a tough situation with a double play. When we did have some guys on, he was just able to manage the game extremely well.
2-3, Tim Adaman will pitch for the Reds. The Pirates will go with 0-2 lefty Stephen Brault. The Morehead State soccer team is on the turf of Jane Stadium tonight. The Eagles will look to add to their 2-2-1 record as they tangle with Western Carolina at 6. The MSU volleyball team got the Eagles challenge underway earlier today by defeating Appalachian State 3-2. Head coach Jamie Gordon, though, wants to see his team take better care of the ball.
We've got to maintain the consistency in our ball control. I thought we passed very well in the first set, and that allowed us to run offense pretty well. We've also got to get better at some consistency with our serving. You know, we gave away way too many points once again on service errors.
The Eagles will take on Ball State this evening at 7. Finally in sports, the women's top seed in the U.S. Open has been upset. AP correspondent Graham Agars reports.
10-seed Karolina Pliskova has recorded her biggest win to advance to her first Grand Slam final at the U.S. Open, the big-serving Czech beating top seed Serena Williams 6-2-7-6, securing the second-set tiebreaker 7-5 when Williams' double faltered on match point. It's the second consecutive year Williams has been upset in the semifinals. Pliskova now faces the second-seed Angelique Kerber after she ended the comeback run of Caroline Wozniacki in straight sets, Kerber into her third Grand Slam final of the year and now assured of the world number one ranking. Graham Agars, New York.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available. 6 home games are on the schedule, beginning with the Eagles hosting Virginia Military Institute tomorrow night. Kickoff is set for 6 p.m. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed sharply lower as concerns the Federal Reserve might raise interest rates this month loomed following comments made by key Fed officials. And the Dow Industrials plummeted 394.46 to finish at 18,085.45. The S&P 500 was down 53.49. at 2127.81,
okay.
And the NASDAQ composite was down 133.57 at 5125.91. The Dow finished near the lows for the day, and this comes after comments from several Fed officials, in particular Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren, who said in a speech that low interest rates are increasing the chance of overheating the U.S. economy. And many market watchers took this as a sign that the Fed may indeed consider raising interest rates when they meet this month. And the NASDAQ, which was, of course, hard hit today, was in particular affected by weakness in the biotechnology sector. The iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF was down 3.25%. And also among large NASDAQ stocks, Apple itself was down about 2.25% today. And, of course, this just several days after Apple released its new iPhone 7. Also, the Dallas Fed President Rob Kaplan, who is a non-voting member of the Fed's committee, said in another speech that the case for a rate hike has certainly strengthened in the past few months. And also, the Fed Governor Lael Brainard unexpectedly announced that she would deliver a speech on Monday. And, of course, market watchers are going to be anticipating that speech for further clues on near-term Fed action. U.S. Treasury bonds fell broadly as interest rates went up on Treasury bonds. The two-year yield finished near 0.79%, and the benchmark 10-year yield at 1.67%, its highest rate in several months. And the U.S. dollar rose sharply against a basket of currencies, with the euro near $1.12 and the yen around 102.7. About 19 stocks declined for every advancer on the big board. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were J.P. Morgan and Johnson & Johnson, although both were down about 1% on the day. Your worst-performing Dow stocks were Caterpillar, Boeing, and Verizon. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Wynn Resorts and MetLife, and your worst performers were Diamond Offshore and CarMax. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.99 at $116.57. CSX down $1.06 at $27.89. Marathon Petroleum down $1.21 at $42.24. AEP down $2.41 at $63.69. AK Steel down 20 cents at $4.14. And Kroger was up 20 cents to finish at $31.51. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.